It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As some Wisconsin college students pack up and prepare to move into off-campus apartments and other housing arrangements, that means new maintenance and upkeep and unexpected things to fix. We've called in the Trans Handyman on TikTok, maintenance technician Mercury Stardust, to help with easy hacks. And you can join the conversation about things you need to repair where you live. The number to call in with your question or comment, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mercury Stardust is a professional home maintenance technician, author, performer, and activist. Mercury, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, let's roll up our sleeves together here. You know, last time we talked, you suggested using a regular old kitchen magnet as a stud finder, and it was a little aha moment for us. What other household gadgets or items should college students keep handy as stand-ins for tools?
You know, I actually just did a video on this last night. You know, you can do a whole lot with a clothespin. You know, I think we've all faced those moments where we've had problems in our home where we broke a light bulb on accident and all we have left is the socket stuck in inside of a socket. And you can remove it either with a potato, which is the old farm girl in me, or you can remove it with a clothespin just by putting it inside and expanding it and turning it. And that works out real well. And a rubber band. Rubber bands are great for removing strip screws as well.
I don't hesitate to use a butter knife here and there to unscrew stuff, which I know I should be going to the toolbox to get a real screwdriver, but I even keep one with my, you know, a little butter knife with my cleaning stuff because yeah. I don't know why. It's easier for me sometimes just to use that.
You know, my mentality is the best tools are the ones you got on hand. So if you can make it work, all the power to you.
You refer to your work as compassionate DIY. How is that different from other approaches to do-it-yourself guidance?
You know, a lot of times when people educate people in this space, it has an air of things you already should know, right? There's these layers of you should know the name of this tool, you should know the name of that. Oh, you've probably done this before. But I come at it from an angle of you probably don't know any of this, and none of these names matter at all. We're just going to talk about how to use these things. And if I call it a thingamajig and, you know, a bobbit, who cares? You know, as long as the job gets done. And I try to nurture people because for me, as a person about with a queer community, I know what it's like to feel ostracized for being a little bit different. And sometimes when you are treated that way, it can be really hard to learn new things. So I start the conversation by reminding people they're worth the time it takes to learn a new skill. And that helps to soften the education that I'm going to give them.
That makes so much sense. I'm wondering if they have informed you and given you some tips along the way in your journey in home repair and maintenance.
Oh, constantly. I think the best educators are ones that are always willing to listen to their audience. I have learned so many little knick-knack things along the way, or I've been suggested things where I thought they were absolutely nuts ideas, and I've tried them, and I'm like, holy cow, that works! You know, being willing to try new things is the name of the game, and you never know what's going to work next time.
What was that? Can you give us an example of a little transformation you had when you thought something would never work and it worked fantastically?
You know, I can't think of one right off the top of my head, but I will say it happens probably at least twice a week. You know, it can be as simple as, you know, the audience telling you to use duct tape for something like this or that. It's wild how many suggestions I'm given on a daily basis. But boy, they come in handy. There was a moment where you have this old pliers. It's an angled headed pliers. And a lot of people were telling me online that you can use it as a staple puller. And if you've ever pulled staples out of a floor, you'll know that that's a real hard task. Mm. But these old pliers, when they start going bad, they can't cut as hard. So they're kind of like rusted and beat up, but they come perfect staple pullers. And they once they age out as a functional tool,
they have a whole new life.
They have a whole new life, and boy, that changed my life when my audience was like, "You should try this."
We have Mercury Stardust, a Wisconsin-based maintenance technician, TikTok superstar, as we talk about, you know, on-campus living and renting new places and what to know about maintenance. You can join in with your question at 800-642-1234. How can college students hang frames on the walls, Mercury, without losing their security deposit or, you know, incurring extra fines?
That's such a good question. I think a lot of times the quick answer here is that there's two things that can go on a wall that's not going to damage it most of the time. Anytime you hang anything on a wall, you're always running the risk that you might damage it some way, some shape or form. Okay. But wall putty or mounting putty is pretty decent for a lot of posters and stuff. If we're just hanging posters, that putty is pretty darn good. If you are in a space where that's not going to work and you need to use like a frame that's just going to be much heavier, then maybe start with a command strip and see what happens. But if you get a command strip, don't buy the cheap ones, because often the adhesive is the kind that will make your life a lot harder later on and rip and damage the drywall. So I recommend getting a good priced command strip and leaving the tab on it. Don't cut the tab off. The tab is how you remove it later on to help prevent damage.
And those are supposed to be removable. Like you're supposed to be able to take it off without a problem to the wall and put it elsewhere. With those good ones, is that true? Does that work?
I mean, in theory, yes. But you have to take into account, if you are living in somewhere that has central air or air conditioning and you're not in a high humid area, you might be okay, right? But if you're in an area where you have no AC, no central air, or you are trying to use it in a bathroom where you have a lot of heat and steam, that adhesive is going to adhere to the paint and the drywall itself, and it's going to make it a lot harder. If you leave it on for 2 to 3, 4 years, well, yeah, it's not going to come off without a fight. But if you replace it every 3 to 6 months and you're in a space where you don't have a lot of steam or humidity, you should be okay, in theory.
In theory. Okay, so with that in mind, what are some of the most important tools for students to keep in their new place, to keep in their home?
I love this question. I think that a lot of times when we have this discussion, we're always thinking of a hammer and a torpedo level and a tape measure. All that stuff is good. I think you probably already have a hammer and already have a tape measure. What you probably don't have is an adjustable groove joint pliers, commonly known as a channel locks. A channel locks is a lifesaver when we're talking about plumbing or any type of issue we might be having on the fly. If you're having an issue where you're having something going like a leak underneath your toilet or in your sink or anything like that, having a channel locks ready to go is a game changer. So that should absolutely be in your little back pocket just in case. I would also recommend a standard Allen key set or a metric Allen key set, both if you can. They're super handy, and you never know what kind of furniture or IKEA furniture you might be putting together.
With the channel locks, how do you use them? What would you use it for?
So the channel locks is like a sliding, it kind of looks like a regular pliers or a slip joint pliers, but this one has more like a mouth or a head to it. Mm-hmm. And it slides up and down, which means it can change the width and basically how wide it can be when it grabs onto something. So it's great for plumbing to loosen up any type of connection points underneath your sink. It's great to turn off a shutoff valve underneath your toilet. So if you are having a toilet, you can't turn off the shutoff valve because it just isn't turning. If you put a groove joint and pliers on it, it's going to give you extra length, which is going to give you more leverage so you can do it. Just be careful you don't break it.
Mercury Stardust, known as Trans Handyman on TikTok, maintenance technician, trans activist, spreading inclusive housing repair education, and fielding your questions, your comments about these repairs and what you're up to in your home. You can call in at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss handy screwdrivers and command locks and duct tape, anything to tackle common repair jobs as college students prepare to move into a new place. Or maybe you're dealing with things to fix where you live now and you need some advice. We have maintenance technician Mercury Stardust here to help and fielding your questions. Call in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mercury, some of your content is about red flags when looking for a place to rent. What should college students watch out for when looking to share a rental with a group?
That is such a good question. I think that's a huge concern we have right now, right? I think that when you're moving into any type of rental, any type of space whatsoever, you should make sure that you understand what the safety precautions might be in that space. If you have a patio door, right, you might want to know how to be able to properly lock that patio door, right? Like broomstick handle that goes right in between the tracks will help to keep that door shut no matter what, right? Well, at least for the most part. Mm-hmm. And knowing the exits to get in and out. All that kind of stuff is really important. In a case of a fire, in a case of a tornado, in a case of any type of problems, knowing that ahead of time is a huge thing. Also, if you have a basement or if you have any type of storage unit, knowing if you are going to have standing water in there is a huge concern, especially in a lot of older rentals here in tropical Madison, Wisconsin.
So you should really ask about that. Has there ever been water in the basement, or should things be, you know, up elevated off the floor?
Yeah, and you might get one of those answers that are very like, yeah, maybe, you know, well, of course it is because this is an old home. But the things you want to look out for with your eyes is if there's a whole bunch of pallets down in the basement, if there's a whole bunch of pallets down in the basement, that means they're doing that for a liability issue, right? They want to make sure that you aren't going to have anything that's on the ground that's going to be soaked in water and et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. So if you see a bunch of pallets down there, that might be a good indication. If you are seeing a furnished basement that looks pretty decent and looks like things have been down there for a while, you're probably going to be okay and they've took all the necessary precautions they need. But it is also worth noting, it is a hard problem to solve. Being in maintenance for the last 16 years, when it talks about water in the basement, it is not as simple sometimes as we want it to be. So just be cautious going in and make sure you have renter's insurance.
I also want to say, as you're in the basement, I would also probably recommend checking out that egress window and making sure it does open as your escape route.
Yes, making sure that every single escape route you got is ready to go and testing it on a little semi basis, right? You want to make sure that you are ready to go in a moment. And I always recommend to people that have a to-go bag, right? Like having at least one night worth of clothes in there, some emergency stuff, and then always making sure that you have a little bit of cash to go just in case something would happen.
You advocate for LGBTQIA plus issues. Are there red flags that young queer adults should look out for when looking for a place to rent?
Yeah, I think that it is important to make sure we read our leases. Sometimes the leases will have indications of, oh, we don't want certain things in the window, right? And what they mean most of the time is pride flags. Mm. If there's wording that really gives you red flags, if you don't feel comfortable, right? If something is making you feel not great about the situation, listen to it. If there's smoke, there's almost always fire. So be aware of those kind of things and trust your instincts. Queer people know our own safety and we know how to protect ourselves and listen to ourselves. Don't second guess yourself when you're going into a situation with a landlord. Remember, it isn't going, if it's already kind of awkward and it's already kind of weird with a landlord, it isn't going to get easier when you sign a year lease with them. So be cautious when you go into that.
We're going to turn now to air conditioning as we're in this, you know, major heat wave here in Wisconsin and around the country. The heat index here expected to reach 100 degrees. What are dorm and renter friendly options for additional cooling, additional air conditioning?
If you are living in the dorm, one of the best things that you can do, if you have two windows in corresponding areas in your dorm, right, is making sure that at night you can keep two windows open and having a fan that's blowing the heat out, right? Mm. So you want to put the fan outwards into the ether. And what that's doing is basically turning your space into a little AC. It's bringing the cold air from the opposite window and it's bringing them out. A lot of times you'll see people take a fan and put it in front of the windshield and have the cold air from the outside come in, but that's actually not doing what you think it's doing. So Turn that fan outwards and point it outside. And then having another corresponding window open is actually going to vacuum the air in a lot more effectively.
We're talking about living accommodations as college students move back to campus with Mercury Stardust, maintenance technician and TikTok star. You can join in with your fix-it issues around where you live. 800-642-1234 to call in with a question or share a comment. Mercury, Vern from Boyd called with some helpful suggestions for home maintenance, and Vern recommends a plastic plug for drains to remove hair, says it works well, and they also say people should have a radon test done and buy a hot glue gun. Never know when you'll need it. What about those tips?
The hot glue gun is great. I love that one, especially if you have a cylinder block wall or a concrete wall. Having a hot glue is actually a great way to stick things to the wall. If you put it on cold and then you put some like glue backing on a poster or sometimes even a light frame, it will stay on the wall and not damage the wall when you take it off. It's a great trick. So a hot glue gun is real handy. What was the first one that they said?
plastic plug for drains to remove hair. How do you most effectively remove hair from a drain?
I am a huge component of getting like a skinny drain cleaner or a Cobra skinny drain cleaner. They're these $8 to $12 tools that it's like an auger that's 8 feet long. And the reason why I recommend that over anything else is almost all the other products online are some type of plastic. Mm-hmm. And I don't like putting plastic near my drains. And the reason why is because plastic over time, especially when it gets heat up and then cold and heat and cold and heat and cold, it gets brittle. And it can fall apart and break. And that plastic can be found inside your drains. And trust me when I say removing plastic is a whole lot more difficult than removing hair or any type of object like that from the drain. So if you get a Cobra skinny drain cleaner, take the first inch or so of it and bend it at a 45 degree angle. If you take any auger or any drain snake and bend it at a 45 degree angle, when you go down the drain, it's going to be a whole lot easier and you're not going to be fighting it the entire time because it's going to be hooking inside the drain and pulling itself down. And boy, that makes a world of difference.
How often can you use it? And can you hurt the drain in any way if you use the auger approach?
If you are using like a 1/8 inch Cobra skinny drain cleaner, you're not going to really hurt the drain at all. It's
okay.
A really good, simple tool. It's really flexible. And it's why I recommend it for people who are doing this stuff for the first time. And because it's only 8 feet long, it's not long enough to really get you in some pretty big trouble, right? You don't want to, if you're in a dorm, a lot of your piping is connected. So if you're using a big auger, you might end up in someone else's bathtub and give them one hell of a scare, you know? So you want to make sure you are not just willy-nilly throwing big augers everywhere. An 8-foot auger will be all you need for most clogs. And if you don't get it then, You need a call for help from a professional.
Okay. And thumbs up or thumbs down on pouring chemicals down the drain to break it up?
Thumbs down. It should be your last resort. If you can't do anything else, if you are someone who is prone to being too scared to use an auger or too complicated and you can't do anything else, then I recommend it. But I specifically recommend 100% pure lye products.
Okay.
Most of the problems in a clog is going to be hair, and pure lye will typically be able to burn it away.
Mercury Stardust of Wisconsin, trans handyman on TikTok with how-to videos, advice to conquer basic home repairs, and tips for renters along the way. You can be part of this conversation. Call in with a question. You can share your comment, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn how to fix maintenance problems that come up where we live and when to call a landlord or get a professional involved, especially as college students prepare for the move-in process. We have Wisconsin Maintenance Technician Pro Mercury Stardust to tackle repair issues, and you can discuss the problem you're having with something you want to fix on your own. Call in with a question or comment, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Mercury, we heard from Gina in Montello, sent along an email, and Gina says, first, Mercury, you are the bomb. They follow you on TikTok, and you inspire Gina every day. You're so funny, Gina says, love your laugh. Here come the questions. Gina pre-ordered your book and is wondering, will you be doing any local signings? And then Gina wants to know, how can someone hire you?
Both very good questions. Thanks, Gina, for helping me sell more books. So my book is called Safe and Sound, A Renter's Friendly Guide to Home Repair. And I'll be doing 4 signings here in tropical Madison, Wisconsin, at the wonderfully queer-owned Rooms of One Own here in Madison. Mm-hmm. And we're doing the largest book tour in America this year, with 53 books cities in a book tour this fall. Super exciting. So we're going to be all over the United States.
Huge, huge. Oh, that's so awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, pretty nuts. It's right now, my book is the number one how-to book in the country on Amazon, and I think that's a pretty good accomplishment.
Oh my goodness. So how about that other question? How can someone hire you?
You know, I don't do contracting work nearly as much as I used to, but we are going to be starting our own little contracting business here with a bunch of queer and trans people in Madison in the next year. So stay tuned on my Instagram to learn more about how we're going to be able to get more queer people in the workforce and trades as much as possible and give them a good job to start.
You know, you have used your platform to raise money for queer causes, to lift people up, empower people. What do you hope your advocacy work accomplishes?
That is a lot. This year has been a really hard year for the trans community for a lot of different reasons, right? Mm. We were lucky enough to raise $2,250,000 for trans healthcare in 30 hours this year on a TikTok live, you know? But the help that I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to provide is being able to bring awareness to trans people at an individual fundamental level. I think when people can see humans' eyes and humans' hearts, I think that can change minds. And I don't think you change minds by, you know, talking in big theories and talking about, you know, I feel this or I feel that. I think you change minds by saying, my life is this. My life, I need help. You know, and I think people, if you appeal to their common good, I think people will surprise you. And 66,000 strangers on the internet donated to people they will never meet, they will never shake hands, they'll never have a conversation with, but they did it anyways because they know it was the right thing to do to help them. And it helped 11,000 trans people access gender-affirming care who would not be able to otherwise. And boy, that was pretty exciting.
Oh, that just must make you so, that just must fill your cup when as you go about your work, and especially, you know, just sharing information and sharing your heart with people.
The most important person in my life was my mom. And my mom always told me that there is nothing better in life than to give to others. And the only reason I really have a platform, the reason why I wake up every morning and make little fun videos or educational videos on the internet, is because it helps to grow my platform. And the larger my platform gets, the more I'm able to give effective help in a larger way. It's a reason why activism is so important to me. I'm using my wonderful social media platforms that started as a DIY platform, but is now more of a central hub for the queer community to be able to come to and feel solidarity with and inspire hope in a time that we need a lot more hope.
We're in conversation with Mercury Stardust, maintenance technician pro, TikTok star, and fielding your questions about home repair and what's broken around the place that you live and maybe a way to fix it more easily. Call in with your question or comment at 800-642-1234. Mercury, talking about roommates here, how can college students maximize a small space when sharing a room with another student?
That is another great question. Loft beds will be your best friend. I think that IKEA makes some really great loft bed products that I really think you might want to look into. I think anything where you can store something underneath something else, like a Russian nest doll, is hugely important. It will be a game changer. If you're able to get shelves that can really, like, anything that's a pegboard, anything around those lines, really help a lot too. And really think about how less is more, how you can get by through a functional lens rather than an aesthetic one. You know, when you're in college, it's going to be a few years before you can really, spread your wings and fly. And so really enjoy having less in order to do more.
So do a major edit on your stuff before you move in and just go with those essential things.
I think it's important to remember too, whatever you got to bring in, you got to take out, right? So if you're bringing, you know, the couch and a kitchen sink, right? You're going to, every time you move that stuff around, you're running the risk of damaging something. And if you're in an apartment and you're doing a lot more moving, the chances are when you're in a dorm or in an apartment building in the first couple of years of college, you're going to be moving a couple times. And I encourage people to really think about that. I know none of us want to have, you know, a whole bunch of IKEA furniture that we got to take apart, put it back together. But just remember, it's better to be able to have something that's portable and that can go to multiple locations than something that's going to make moving a question. If you got a big organ in your house, I've been there, I've seen people do this, you know, an organ's great. It looks aesthetically cool, but now you got to move it to place to place to place. That's a little bit of a headache, you know.
I think you've seen a number of things inside people's abodes.
Well, you have no idea.
Well, you talk about moving, and your book touches on hiring, when to hire professional movers. At what point should a person call in movers to hire a mover?
I think it's important to remember that a lot of times you might have accessibility issues, right? Like if you're someone who has mobility issues and you're not able to do this, I think asking for help or reaching out to people is really important. Never hesitate on it. I also think if you're someone who has a lot of bigger, larger objects, you are going to want to ask for help more than likely. And if you are stubborn and you do not want to do it, then get yourself some furniture straps or moving straps. And the reason why I say that is because it takes two very small people and make them hugely strong people. Those moving straps are amazing. And they're great for couches and desks and beds and all that stuff. But you need to have a minimum of two people to really make it functional. And that's why I recommend a mover whenever possible, because it takes all that stress out if you can, and it makes it a little bit more palatable.
What about those sliders you put under the feet of like a couch that you can maybe slide it more easily? Do you ever use those?
All the time. I get a whole bunch of them and put them underneath your furniture when you first move in. That's your desk, your bookshelves, anything. And when you move, I guarantee you are going to think past you, and you're going to be like, oh God, I'm such a good person. I made my life so much easier. Is a huge thing. And one more tip, if you have a bunch of corners in your apartment that you have to walk past in order to get in, you get a lot of tight corners, get yourself some cardboard and a bunch of painter's tape and make sure that you cover those corners with cardboard or some type of, corner based thing, and then tape it to the wall. The reason why I say that is because you will hit a corner. You are going to bump into a wall when you are moving things in, especially large objects. The first thing to get damaged is almost always the corner of a wall. So plan ahead and everything's going to be okay.
Here's a scenario that may or may not happen, a house party. Are there skills that students should learn to clean up after groups of people assemble?
Yeah, get yourself a really big rug and put everything underneath it. I think that knowing that the best laid plans are going to go awry. you are going to have a hole in your wall to patch up at least once in your lifetime. And chances are it's going to be after a party. But having a shop vac is a really good idea. I think shop vacs are one of the most handy little dandy tools to have. They're super great in a pinch, and after a big party, you're probably going to need it.
What about a stain on the carpet? How do you like to get out stains?
It's going to be different for every type of carpet you got. There is not like a one size fit all answer to that. But Pink Stuff is a great brand that has a lot of different products in it. And it has kind of a product for everything, corrugated carpet, from rugs, from, anything underneath the sun. So making sure that you have at least access to a store that's going to have a wide variety of those things is good. And remember that whenever you are applying something to a stain, letting it sit for a little bit with the chemical on there is going to help pull it up. So keep that in mind. Don't just apply and then wipe it away right away. You're actually defeating the purpose most of the time.
Give it a few minutes. We have Wisconsin-based home maintenance technician Mercury Stardust guiding us through those DIY repairs of all sizes and doing it from an inclusive and compassionate perspective. Call in with a question or comment at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We welcome back Mercury Stardust, a Madison-based professional home maintenance technician known as the Trans Handy Mam on TikTok, fielding your question about the repair you want to tackle. Call in with the home repair question or comment, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Mercury, what are important preventive maintenance cleaning methods that students should do on a regular basis?
Oh, this is a good one. I love it. we all have a refrigerator probably in our homes. Well, at least I would hope so.
Do we have a refrigerator probably or problem?
If you look behind it, it has something called a condenser. And that condenser will have a fan that's attached to it. And it is the most neglected thing in most apartments and dorms. I cannot tell you how many times I've walked in and someone's having some type of cooling problems inside of their fridge. And it has almost always been a condenser problem. And all you got to do is just regularly, every couple of months, just vacuum the back of it. And you will find so much like dust and dirt and grime. And all that does is it cakes around the condenser and the fan, and it makes its job so much harder. Imagine trying to run a marathon and having it be in like a whole bunch of smog. It's so much harder if you can't breathe properly. And that's exactly how a condenser fan feels too. So clean in the back behind it, and it's going to make your world a lot easier. Also, if you're lucky enough to be one of the like 5% of college students that has a washer and dryer in your apartment units. if you do have a dryer, make sure that you are not just cleaning the lint catcher, but you're actually getting more. If you have like a shop vac that has a good handle, put it down in the vent the best you can and suck up as much of the lint as possible. The more you get out, the more it would function, the better it's going to do, and the faster it's going to dry.
Oh, more energy savings there. Well, moving to the bathroom, what are some, you know, maintenance things or cleaning methods you suggest in the bathroom to keep up on?
You know, I think that when it comes to our tubs and our sinks, I don't think they get enough of care. You know, before you asked me about drain cleaners, like are drain cleaners good for a clog? No, they're terrible for clogs, but for preventative reasonings, they're not too bad. If we're talking ahead of time, before you have a problem, that's when I recommend you're talking about like, you know, some type of liquid heat or Drano. That kind of stuff is okay ahead of a clog. It starts being an issue when you have a clog already. All you're doing is loosening it up and setting it down farther down the drain. And that can cause an even larger clog and be an absolute nightmare for anyone who is doing the job, right? But if that is something that grosses you out, baking soda and vinegar is a great way to do it without having a whole lot of chemicals that are going to damage any cast iron. So baking soda and vinegar is a great way to help make sure that you're not going to have those problems.
All right. Let's stay in the bathroom here. Chelsea in Weston with a question. Chelsea, hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What would you like to bring up?
First of all, Mercury, you're incredible. Keep doing what you do. And I have a leaky faucet in my bathroom, my sink. Gosh, it's like a slow trickle. It was like a drip a year ago, and I don't know what to do about it.
That, you know, that's a good question. It always going to depend if you have one handle or two handles. If you have a hot water handle and a cold water handle, your situation is going to involve something called a stem. If you are someone who has a handle that has just one handle that does hot and cold, you probably have something called a cartridge. Both things tend to go bad over time and could have something called like an O-ring that's underneath the handle that you need to take off the cover. And then if you just replace the O-ring, you'll be surprised how often that actually solves the problem itself. It's like a 50 to 80 cents fix. And if you call a plumber, they're going to just give you $150. They're just going to be like, give me this money. And you could have done it a lot quicker without them sometimes. So I recommend checking that first. And if that doesn't solve the problem, that's when you ask for help and reach out to others.
Chelsea, thank you. Chris now in Madison. Chris, hi.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, the apartment that I'm renting used to have carpeting. I guess that was fashionable when this place was built. But a lot of it has been removed, and so we now have these rather handsome hardwood floors with a minor sealer on them. And I'm just wondering if you had any suggestions about how to, best keep them clean, prevent scratches.
How to maintain those beautiful hardwood floors, Mercury.
Oh, that's a good one. Hardwood floors can be such a nemesis for some people. You know, if they're great in so many ways, but they also can be an absolute nightmare to try to maintain them. I think being sure that when you're cleaning them, you're not getting everything soaked with water is a huge thing. Long-term damage happens a lot with those hardwood floors. If we are constantly using mops and those kind of things that are going to get the surface wet, no matter how much sealant, no matter how much repellent you put on there, you're always going to be running the risk of having that long-term damage. So damp things over wet, wet soaking things are always going to be your best friend over the long term. Okay. You want to make sure that you get like those Swifters are pretty darn good. I like them over mops and those things because I think mops can sometimes soak the area rather than actually get the area a whole lot of clean. So I would recommend that. And then secondly, when we're talking about not trying to damage the things, it's all about prep. We were just talking before about those sliders you put underneath furniture to slide around. Those are great to have on hardwood floor. But I'm even going to go a little bit farther and say those felt pads are really important. I like to think ahead before we have issues instead of just trying to fix all the issues we already have, right? So those felt pads that go underneath furniture, chairs, tables, couches, you got them, you name them. You should definitely make sure you have them before you move in. And when you are living right now and everything gets used a lot, sometimes they fall off.
Chris, thank you so much for the call. Mara in Weston sent along an email. Mara says they're in the process of stripping paint from a reclaimed door to stain it instead. And there's a lot of little grooves that are difficult to sand. And says, Mercury, I tried a Dremel too. Do you have any tips to get in these grooves?
You know, a Dremel is the very first thing that I would suggest. But they actually make like little pencil sanders. So there are these sanding pads that are like a pencil that have a head on it that has a little sanding pad on it. And they're super thin and they're made to go into the finest point. You can get them on Amazon or anywhere online. They're a lot harder to get at your local hardware store. They don't sell woodworking stuff like they used to. But online you can get these little sanding pencils that can really get in there. It's going to take a lot of time, but it's going to make your life worth it. If you're using any chemical to strip the paint, to strip all that, you are going to damage the wood. So try to just use patience over quick fixes when it comes to anything sanding. Patience is your best friend with woodworking of any kind. So just make sure that you take your time, get a lot of water, and take a lot of breaks, but it's going to be worth it, and the results are going to make you so happy.
Every time you touch that door, you did a piece of it. Oh, well, Mercury, thank you so much. All the best on your book tour and the book Safe and Sound. I hope it all goes so well for you.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, Mercury Stardust is a Madison-based home maintenance technician and a TikTok star. If you missed any portion of this conversation, you can visit our program page to stream or download more programs from The Morning Show. Programs like this one as well. Take a look what's there. Visit WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.